Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 805. 805 for the week of March 21st. 508? No, 805. We already did.
Okay.
March 21st, 2026. I'm Chris Privateer, bringing you this week's show about news and RPGs and stuff. Joining me, Kelly Ryan.
Hello.
And Josh Carpenter.
Hey.
Got coffee. How you doing? Let's do a show.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
We're here.
Let's start off easy. What have you been playing? I'm going to go first. I've been playing more Project Gorgon. I don't have any particularly good anecdotes this week. It's been a busy work week for me, So kind of just get out of that, do a daily, hang out with some guild friends, log off. But hey, that's MMO stuff for you. But I do have the crippling depression about how all the games I'm not playing starting to settle in while I play that game. So that's something, right?
You sound like you want to play something but can't.
Like what?
I don't know. You said you have crippling depression about the games you're not playing.
Yeah. But I don't want to play any of them. But I feel bad that I'm not playing them.
I don't think you should feel bad about playing what you want to play.
Well, but that's what I did with PoE for so long. And people said that was bad. So therefore it's
Who
bad.
Who said that was bad?
Andy.
Andy has to live with it every day.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like that again.
Because that's how I sort of, I mean, I kind of got that way when I sort of fell down the Minecraft-like rabbit hole when I got obsessed with Nissess and Corekeeper. And it was like, you know what? I'm having fun. I feel like I shouldn't have to justify my play experience.
Fair.
But aren't you enjoying being a cow?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, what other game can give you being a cow?
Not very many.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up with that? Cow game. Let's search on Steam for cow game. There's a game called The Cow Game. What is this about? Moo, you play as a brave cow. While searching for your stolen calf, you uncover a mystical saga about a secret cult. Like cult, but cow.
Gout.
Explore a lively, low-poly world full of little puzzles and fantastical adventures. Various surprising endings are waiting for you to discover them. To be announced. Well, it's not even out. See? Yeah, no, that's it, and that's the only one. Yeah, the next one that comes up is Project Gorgon. Oh, and Farming Simulator 25.
So there is a severe lack of cow games.
Mm-hmm. Severe lack implies we need these things, which I'm not convinced. But
it
I'm also
seems like
not
we could
not
be doing better in the cow game department, though.
I suppose.
Just not enough udders out there.
Oh boy!
Like, how many goat simulator games do we have? At least two.
Well, yeah, one and three. Goat Simulator 1 and Goat Simulator 3, because they skipped two.
Yeah,
which I still love.
Isn't that a joke that Leisure Suit Larry started of skipping a number?
I wouldn't know.
And anyway.
All right, that's it for me.
I know now why we keep Pokemon and Pokeballs, Chris. Do you want to know why?
Yes.
Because otherwise they are the most whiny little pets you will ever own.
Oh, no.
Right, my environment's too hot. I'm too cold. It's too dark. I want a toy, but it has to be cute. I've been playing more.
You've been playing Pokopia, haven't you?
Pokopia, yeah. And I'm trying, you know, you get better stuff at the shop for increasing the environment level of various Pokemon habitats. But then you get one like, I need it to be darker. And I'm like, what, you want me to blot out the sun for your comfort?
Yes.
And then you look it up and it's like, well, no, you just have to like put their habitat in a cave.
You're like, wait, that's very reasonable. And I feel silly. I didn't think of it.
but it's stuff like that. It's like, how am I supposed to figure this out? I have your house by a lake. How it's is called, it not wet enough?
It's called empathy, Kelly.
I just think that
wait, if the lake's not empty wet enough, does it have to be in the lake?
No, and thank God for the subreddit, because otherwise I would have quit this game. Well, no, not really. It's still a lot of fun, but the subreddit does a better job of explaining how to accomplish these tasks than the game does. Like for Pokemon that want their home to be more humid, if you just put a water basin in their little habitat, then they're fine. And
wait, that makes it more humid?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that like a translation thing, or is that literally what they say? Like, I want to be more humid.
Well, it's a world without technology, right? So
yeah. And Pokemon in this game get significantly happier if you house them in an actual house, as opposed to just having their habitat be some grass and like a little Pokemon shanty town. But you still need to make the house to their liking. And a lot of people were scratching their head trying to figure out how to make their house more humid. Then somebody just figured out, oh, just stick a water basin in it. And it's like, okay, that sounds good.
I think I like that title better than Pocopia. I think Shantytown. Yeah. Pokemon Shantytown, everybody.
I mean, that's what it looks like at first before you start building houses, because, you know, you're making straw beds and just kind of throwing them around everywhere. And they want enrichment, so you just kind of throw toy blocks everywhere, and all of a sudden they're happy, and you're the best Ditto in the whole world.
This is how parenting works, right?
Yeah.
I need enrichment. Much. Throw blocks at them. Go play with that. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm watching my stories.
Well, and some of the things that are considered toys are amusing, like an alarm clock. Like, oh, well, here's an alarm clock. You have fun annoying the crap out of your fellow Pokemon with the noise. I've put like I don't know how many hours into this game at this point. It's been a blast to play. I just thought that observation was amusing.
Yeah,
with how picky they are with their living conditions, which led me to the conclusion that Pokeballs are
good enough.
Well, remember, for the humans, all they hear is like Pika Pee Pikachu, so you don't really hear them complaining.
Yeah,
but it is annoying still because they just say the same thing over and over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Pika,
but
Pika.
The other funny thing is that no matter, I think they did this for positivity reasons, no matter what, like you're BFFs with every Pokemon you encounter in this game because they say so.
Okay.
And I don't think it matters just how much their comfort level is, because I had Pokemon that like literally just moved in calling me their BFF. So, yeah. I've also been jokingly calling this game Dragon Quest Builders 3, since it's made by the same people and pretty much has the exact same gameplay loop.
Hmm. Well, doesn't that make a lot of sense? A Pokemon sort of builders game?
Yeah, pretty much. Kind of the same, a little bit more like Dragon Quest Builders 2, in that you can hop between the different environments and not worry about having to reset your progress or anything. What else? My other complaint is that whoever programmed the pathing for the Pokemon in this game really needed to look at how other games program pathing. Because, you know, you invite Pokemon to follow you around, and some of them you have to, like when you're searching for treasure, because they'll help you search for treasure. But you have to make sure that they can get to where you're going. Otherwise, you'll get a message saying, so-and-so was having trouble following you. And I don't understand why they didn't, you know, do a normal pathing thing where if you lose track of whoever's following you, they just kind of instantly warp to you. Like most other games do that.
Yeah, I usually like that. It's like, just zoom them up, because I don't want to wait for them to get stuck in a rock.
Yeah, that's not a thing in this game. And it's very annoying.
So they get stuck on a rock, and then you have to go and like remove the rock so that they can actually follow you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh,
and you have to make like block stairs that they can easily jump up. but while you're searching for stuff, because I was searching for treasures last night with an Umbreon following me around, and this Umbreon like just kind of vapor walked when I went to go swim across a gap to get to another island, because I guess Umbreons can't swim, so I had to build a land bridge for it.
It seems like a level of realism you don't really want in this game.
No, but and you want to take them on treasure hunts because, okay, this made me feel old. There's a quest where you have to find CDs, and the Rotom Boombox, the Pokemon, the ghost Pokemon that possesses electronics, said, "Do you know what a CD is?" And I'm just sitting there staring like, I'm 44 years old. What do you think?
Pre-apocalypse technology, Kelly.
I remember when CDs were still behind the glass case at Walmart, but you had a little hole that you could stick your hand into to so that you could still look at the track list. And being in awe, like, wow, they're rainbow colored. I think I was 8 years old the first time I saw a CD.
You think CDs are going to become hipster?
I hope so. I am so tired of this vinyl trend. I'm sorry. I know that we've had people on the cast that are vinyl enthusiasts, but I hated that format so much when I was a kid. And part of it was because, you know, at the time that was the most affordable way to get a lot of my favorite albums. Rolling Stones' greatest hits I found for like $5 at a thrift store versus the $30 that Sam Goody was charging for that set at the time.
Oh yeah, there was cheap vinyl everywhere in the 80s, late 90s, early 90s. Yeah,
no more cheap vinyl now. Now everyone wants vinyl. Yeah.
I'm sure that's another thing that capitalism has ruined, and that you just go to a garage sale or a thrift store and just clean them out for $5, give or take, and then just transfer your favorites to cassette tape so that you could have portability.
Don't worry, Kelly. Oil prices are going up, so no one will be able to afford vinyl anymore.
Oh, don't remind me. The world sucks right now.
Yes, it does.
But no, Pokemon is fun. Don't take my complaints at face value. I love this game. It's the perfect crafting digital crack that I crave. It's just the pathing is annoying, and the pickiness of the Pokemon is kind of amusing.
Almost like a good cozy game, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's so... It sold out everywhere, all of the key cards, and it's already sold like 2 million copies since it came out the last time I checked. Surprise, surprise, combining Pokemon with Minecraft was a success.
What a shock.
Yeah, go figure.
So who knows, maybe we'll get a sequel, but I think Andy would like... Well, Andy liked Dragon Quest Builders. So.
Yeah, Andy's 100% going to play it, just hasn't gotten to it. He's playing, what's he playing this week? He was doing Octopath, I guess probably still that.
Oh, still Octopath Zero?
Yeah.
I bought that for Christmas, I need to play that.
I presume that's going to be a super long experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've also got to get to my Backtrack homework, because I've got to play Trails Through Daybreak 1, and you are currently still on 2?
Yeah, I'm on the newest one, yes. Okay. Still kind of chipping away at that, which, I don't know, lately I've been busy with work, so it's kind of been one of those, like, I don't get to play games until, you know, like an hour and a half before bed. Mm-hmm. That is not the best way to play like a Trails game, especially when you're like going back and forth between that and Yakuza, because those are both lengthy experiences. Trails has just been like, I'm really, really digging where they're going with the game. Like, now, you're go ahead.
Was this the third epilogue one?
It is. I don't know exactly where
third
they're going
epilogue.
To do
epilogue. What
you're thinking, like, is it like Trails third? or
Reverie.
Yes. I think it's more, it's going to turn out to be a little bit more of, it has that sort of feel where you are like combining lots of characters from across the continent in different, and you're bouncing back. It's very much like Reverie, where you're bouncing back and forth between different groups in each, mm-hmm. you know, like the acts are divided up into a bunch of different sections, and you're bouncing back and forth between different groups who are doing different mm-hmm. things in different places. So yeah, it very much has that same sort of setup and feel to Reverie, but I think they're actually going to have like, you know, like this is almost starting a new little, section basically of the game or the overall story. Yeah, I
was just confused because in the sheet you said Daybreak and I couldn't remember if you were still playing two or if you'd started Horizon.
Yes, it's Horizon. I'm sorry, I probably put the wrong one in the sheet.
No worries, they all run together.
Yeah,
in your head at some point.
Daybreak and Horizon especially. Beyond the Horizon, there we go. Yes.
I can barely keep track of my cat's name sometimes, much less the names of the 20 different games in the series.
But we've got an announcement, you know, like they're going to wrap it up by what, 2035? So, you know, it's coming. Oh,
so 10 years.
Yeah.
What will finish first, Trails or One Piece?
Ooh, boy, that's tough. I think I still have more faith in Trails. Don't you?
Yeah, no, I do too. I mean, according to my husband, One Piece is starting to answer some stuff. But
it's only in its second season, Kelly.
Yeah. Hey, that second season was really good of One Piece live action.
Well, not the live action. I mean, the anime.
Oh, no.
Because they're like, that's the end of our first season after 1,000 whatever episodes, right?
No, not even close.
I thought they said that's the end of season one. No?
No.
Oh.
Are you trying to make a joke? Or
no, that's like a thing I heard. I thought they did that.
No. You're thinking Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts. Get it. Did,
all right. Am I missing a joke here? Am I having a massive brain fart? I don't know.
One Piece is switching to seasonal.
Oh, right. Okay.
One Piece will have the record of the longest season one in anime history. It's going seasonal in 2026, so the next season will be called season two, and the 1,150 plus episodes before will be season one.
Okay.
See, I'm serious. This is a thing.
No. Okay, yeah, I remember Vaughn telling me this. It just...
didn't stick.
It's didn't fine. Stick. Because my brain was thinking live action. Live action is worth watching. Particularly because since the story is kind of established, they're sticking in a lot of Easter eggs that if you know the lore, you get to kind of smile a little
bit. But since I don't know the lore, I should probably do nothing in regards to One Piece now that I think about it. But
that's a deep well to fall down, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, what one thing I like about the live action is that because they're real people and they're more grounded, you kind of get to experience the characters as they are and not over-the-top cartoon characters, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So something about it just feels kind of... The moments that get you in the feels really hit. I hope that I'm making sense.
Hmm.
But
the problem is they needed Luffy.
They nerfed Luffy.
They nerfed Luffy. Oh, I misread. Well, that's no good. Is that or is it? I don't know. I'm not going to say anything because I don't know anything. One Piece.
Anyway,
too long.
Trails. Comparing it to Trails.
The other thing that never seems to end.
Yeah.
It's really good, though. Like, you got to get caught up. You got to make it through Daybreak so you can get to Horizon.
Yeah, well, Daybreak is on my homework list for the year. I might very well start it maybe when I finish Pokopia, depending on what's coming out. Though we have a new, well, I guess that doesn't come out until June. We have a news story that a game went from meh to oh my god, day one purchase. But we'll get to that.
Well, we'll get to that. Yeah,
when we get to the news story.
I think the first Daybreak is still like quite good. The second one is the one where it just kind of like, boy, just kind of spends a lot of time spinning its wheels and doesn't really advance the overall story. And I kind of got frustrated with it. So that one just kind of speed through. Mm-hmm. But I think you'll probably like the new set of characters and Calvard's interesting new place to explore.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to the first Daybreak.
And Horizon is just like, it's getting like, you're finally kind of seeing like, oh, this person who's kind of been around, like now you're seeing like, oh, they've been manipulating things behind the scenes all the way, you know, back multiple games. It's mm-hmm. one of those kind of reveals. It's like you get to the end of the first chapter and, you know, you realize the pokey little professor in glasses who's, you know, like who you've been running into spoilers. The entire time is actually a bad guy.
Never trust priests in glasses.
Now you're like, oh, this person has been doing stuff. Oh, I thought they were just, you know, like the. Mm-hmm. You know, a normal little character, and like, no, they've been manipulating things behind the scenes all the way. All those little things you saw all the way along now all play together.
Careful. Let's not spoil things.
I'll keep it vague. And otherwise, like, Kiwami 3. Okay.
Did they patch it or anything or no?
Just... No. I mean, like, it... It is one where they have taken a lot of the mechanics for the side stuff that they've used in recent games. They've just kind of like squished into this. So you've got like now at the orphanage, you have a gardening mini game, which is they've used in a couple of the different ones set in Hawaii. You've got cooking mini game. You've got, you know, they've taken the quiz academy that they've had in the Hawaii games. They've kind of like taken that and turned it into like helping the kids with their homework, you know, but it's the exact same mechanics of like answering questions. Mm. No Sega trivia this time. Go figure. Sega trivia doesn't make the kids' homework. But like otherwise, all the other stuff does.
Sounds like a problem with their school.
I know. What's wrong with them? How is Sega history not one of the not in a class?
To learn about things like Sega Tashanshiro. And
but it's. Like the combat, it, you know, like it plays much better than the original games. Like, as we've talked about, like that game is kind of the one that is left out as feeling like awkward and stiff. It was the first one, you know, moving to the PlayStation 3. So it was mm-hmm. just kind of that weird little orphan after Kiwami 1 and 2 kind of made those games so good. The new combat style they've added, kind of like Kiryu kind of swaps between a bunch of like different weapons, and it's kind of useful for the huge mobs that you fight that sometimes you have to fight in that game. Although you still got the traditional kind of dragon style Kiryu where you're fighting, which is more akin to fighting one-on-one, but also you can pick up like, you know, giant signs or bicycles or whatever and bash people over the head with it. But I think I've played enough of that to kind of get the feel for it, and I need to get back to Trails and finish it. So, like, I started just playing, like, the Dark Tide.
But you're supposed to finish it and like it. No. I got a feel for it. I'm done.
I finished that game, like, 3 or 4 times, Chris. I played it a bunch.
You played the original that many times?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I did.
Why?
I back on the PS3. No, like
I don't understand that.
That was the very first one I played in the series. So it's got that special place in my heart. I wouldn't tell you it's the best,
of course you wouldn't, because it isn't.
No. But, you know, like, I always really liked the story. So Chaos, I think I played it like twice
Chaos
on PS3.
In the chat is asking us, are we talking about Dark Souls or Trails? And it's like, no, we're no. talking about Yakuza 3.
But I've swapped over to just playing the Dark Ties side story.
Isn't that even worse?
Yeah, let's get to that.
Okay.
None of the side stories that they've added to these Kiwami games have been like amazing.
Right.
You know, like the one that they had.
Majima stuff was fine, right?
Yeah, the Majima stuff in 2 was fine. I don't remember.
I meant in 0 is what I meant, but yeah. All right.
No. I mean, well, obviously that was there in the original, you know, that was the original game. But yeah. I mean, he had that side stuff in Kiwami 2 that kind of tied back into 0, mm-hmm. which was, you know, like fun little fan service fluff, you know, like, you know, like not amazing, but you're like, oh, yeah, this is fun. This is, you know, like going, this is like fleshing out basically two of the bad guys from this game. And, you know, like, I don't remember, know if you remember Kanda, the giant brute. You know, the big giant fat guy who pops up continually in Yakuza 3.
He's giant fat guy. Let me look that up. Big giant fat.
Does that work?
Yakuza 3. Let's see if that comes back.
Let's see how good Google does with this.
Kiryu beats up a fat dude is the video that's being recommended to me. Is that actually the right guy or?
He's the florist,
but he's not fat. How do I spell Kanda?
It's Kanda.
Oh, this guy. I don't like him.
Yeah. Go figure. Like, his backstory is like, yeah, he's just kind of like a thoughtless brute. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you're playing as Mine, who is, you know, like you get his backstory, but I mean, it's just kind of like, yeah, it's he is
Am
a
I
character.
Supposed to remember who Mine is? I don't like. Why don't I?
Because the bad guys in Yakuza games are never really that good, you know.
Oh, it's this guy? Yeah,
Mine was his was Kanda's basically the underling who was kind of the
is smart, he the one that brings
one.
Your best bud to the roof on a hospital bed.
I think so.
Okay, because of course.
So you're like the whole side thing. There's not a whole lot to it. You know, you're going around as Mine trying to like Kanda. Go figure has a really bad reputation in town, so you're going and doing side quests around town to try and improve his reputation. So you're, you know, like it's lots of little things of helping people out. Some of the side stories are cute. Like you've got one where this group of cosplayers is causing problems at local bars where they're showing up and kind of like acting out movies and disrupting things. And so one group of them is a bunch of Yakuza people. The next group is a bunch of pirate people. And, you know, after you beat everybody up and the little story finishes, the bartender's like, man, wonder what would happen if they just like mix those two things together, get like a Yakuza going around as a pirate. And you're like, that would never happen. You know, come on. That would never happen. No, nobody would be that dumb to do something like that. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
The other problem with the Mine side thing, other than just it's kind of like, you know, kind of flat, not going anywhere. The combat in that, I don't know what they were thinking in that his combat is, it has a very fast, you know, he has a combat where it's very quick. It's very centered around like coming in, getting a few punches, like dashing away. But they set him up so that he can't actually pick up anything and attack enemies. And, you know, like that's always been a mainstay of like the brawler combat. I mean, that's, you know, that's such a huge part of Yakuza is being able to pick up, you know, signs over here and just like bash
improvised
people.
Improvised weapons. But, I mean,
yeah.
Or also, carrying an orange around so you can shove it in their mouth. Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, you know, it always actually you know, besides just being fun, it also always served a purpose. Like if you did get into one of those battles with like 8 or 10 or 12 people, it's like, okay, time to pick up the giant sign over here and bash about, you know, 6 or 7 of them away. So they all go flying and then I can actually go in and concentrate on one person. Mm-hmm. And you'll have these battles on the Mine one where it'll be like one pretty tough boss and then like 7 or 8 underlings. And there's no real way to kind of like it becomes a really tricky fight just because there's no way to kind of like get rid of all the underlings all at one go. You have to just kind of like really be careful to like try to pick them off one by one because you will get overwhelmed as you're trying to go through. Like Kiryu, like he has, you know, both the ability to pick up all the weapons that are hanging around, or he can swap to that new battle style where he has like these weapons that he can, these traditional weapons, Japanese
weapons.
Wait,
he just carries weapons around now?
Yeah.
That's not my Kiryu. What is this?
Not my Kiryu.
No.
It's not like guns or anything, Chris. It's just, you know, like traditional.
I can already buy guns and use them.
Like, what are you talking about? Stuff like that.
Yeah, but no, that's not how.
Yeah, we're not getting the authentic Yakuza 3 experience where you would buy those guns and then, you know, like half of the, you know, you couldn't actually target anybody, nope. So you would miss with half of the shots. Yep. And but you wanted them because some of the bosses were incredibly difficult, so you had to get that shotgun with two shots and hope you could hit the boss with at least one of them. Oh man, the weapon combat in those early Yakuza games was terrible.
And now you're telling me just have weapons on your style. I don't like it. No.
Was Yakuza 3 one of the first ones where you could buy a massager and equip it, or am I misthinking?
Buy a what now? I'm sorry, I missed that.
A massager.
A massager.
Like a vibrating gun, like a massage gun or something, or what?
No,
you
like, well, I don't want to say what it's actually supposed to be. But
okay, got it. A personal massager.
Personal massagers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the personal. I think that came later.
Okay.
I think that came up as a joke later in the game.
Because I was going to say, wrong. I thought that was the traditional. Yeah,
I don't think I
weapon.
Chose the right tags for this show for us to talk about that.
They're just personal massagers, Chris.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Nothing more. Don't read too much into it.
I mean, I guess in the plus thing, the one terrible thing they did with the side content in Yakuza Kiwami 2 was like they walled it off where you had to complete, like you had to get through like chapter 6 in the game to get the first bit and then get to like chapter 9 to get the second bit. And at least this is just, you can just choose at the main start of the game, choose which one you want to do, go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a plus for me. So I can just go through and finish this up. Not have to play the entire thing of Yakuza 3.
It was supposed to make the game good, Josh. It was supposed to make it
like
good.
It is improved.
That doesn't mean anything. It was so low to begin with. You still have to like search for locker keys everywhere.
Oh, that was a mainstay of the early Yakuza games. You don't have to,
but they have good things in them.
They got all the good stuff.
And like, you have to like adjust the camera so you see it exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to go into first person mode because it will be, you know, way up above. Oh yeah. Yeah. They'll hide it up on a balcony, you know, two stories above you that you can only see from like one angle.
And I've got the damn detector going, bring, bring. I'm like, where is
it? Yeah, it's going nuts.
Where is it?
Oh, yes. Those incredibly annoying things. You're like, I know it's here. There's nowhere else for me to go. It's going nuts. Where, you know, and it's in the middle of Kamurocho with lights everywhere and you're looking for that one tiny little, you know, like flashing like basically pixel.
I was gonna say bringing back the fun of pixel hunting from Sierra RPGs.
No, but it's not because you could cover the whole screen more quickly in a Sierra RPG like or Sierra game than you can here. The controls, it wants it just right. If you don't focus it correctly in the middle, it's just, it won't trigger.
Mm-mm.
And then you're like, am I just imagining this? It's still beeping. Oh, whatever. Is that it for what we've been playing then?
I believe so.
Okay. Shall we go into feedback?
Yes. Our question of the week last week, which we didn't put in, or no, I didn't put in. I am slacking. We asked something about bad games, or a game that you love that is universally a game that you love that is universally hated.
Mm.
Hang on.
It's like Josh and Yakuza 3. No.
Apparently.
Yeah, what's an old janky game that you love even though everybody else hates it? It was in reference to Airfrog playing janky games on his stream.
Yeah, all right. That's a pretty accurate Airfrog question. Yeah.
So, from Guilingu, I love Unlimited Saga. There, I said it. I know even Saga fans hate it, but I think it's a really fun game with beautiful music and art. It just very poorly explains its systems, and some aspects of it feel extremely unfinished. You should use a guide when playing it, probably. Save often. I think it would be an amazing game if remastered, and it's the last Saga game to be ported to modern systems. Hairfrog should totally play it.
I love it.
I mean, that's Saga games in general. But I digress. From Strawberry Eggs, although hate is perhaps too strong a term, Earthbound Beginnings / Mother 1 is often overlooked by people and is considered the weakest in the Mother / Earthbound trilogy. Despite its high encounter rate, simple battles, and difficult final area, and lacking a lot of improvements of the later two games, I love the first game to bits. There's just something so charming about Earthbound Beginnings, and I love the music.
Mm-hmm.
She continues, depending on your definition of janky, Tales of Symphonia, Dawn of the New World would count as well. I chafe a bit at calling it an old game, but it's almost 18 years old now.
An old game, sorry.
Came out 3 Nintendo generations ago.
Oh.
My love for that game.
I think I just turned into a desiccated corpse. Thanks, Kelly. I'm just feel dead now.
Why are you blaming me?
Because you read it. You read it.
And then from Livy from Discord, RPG Cast feedback. Hey, everyone. I hope all was well. I turned 30 in December, and apparently my heart's warranty ran out. I had a heart attack this past week, but luckily I'm okay with very little damage to my heart.
Crap.
Gosh, I'm glad you're okay. Eat more beans, I guess. I'm told that beans are really good for helping with cholesterol. At least that's what my doctor said. Lots of fiber, basically anything with lots of fiber. Uh-huh. Continuing. In light of that, I'm writing this week to ask if there are any games you'd consider your comfort game. For me, I always end up finding my way back to an action RPG of sorts when life gets hectic. It's nice to unwind and watch bad guys explode into loot. Crimson Desert released this week as well. So far, I'm about 20 hours in, and I think I'm in it for the long haul with this one.
Oh,
it's been nice to get lost in a world and forget about all the external craziness of my life and the world in general. I wouldn't go so far as to call it a comfort game, because, oh boy, there's some stuff that really grinds my gears. Anyway, love the podcast and love what you're doing. You guys have been a staple podcast in my life from my teen years and now my UNC era? UNC era?
UNC era.
UNC era. Hopefully very long lasting. Cheers.
Yeah. Like, probably, usually I think UNC era is like you're an adult, but you're still cool, but you don't have kids. And so you hang out with other people's kids or whatever.
Yeah, I've never heard of that term.
I guess you don't hang out with their kids, but you know, people look up. Yeah, I don't know. First of all, congratulations on surviving a heart attack. I hope you fully recover. Second of all, that is really so. I've heard nothing but like mediocre to bad things about Crimson Desert, but like when a game, especially when you're like you're feeling bad for whatever reason, like your heart trying to blow up, is to have a game that just like is like there and scratches the right itch and is like,
you can feel like, this is how I'm going to recover. I'm just going to sit down and play this game for a while and we're going to have a good time. That feels good. And so I'm envious of that. So enjoy. Yeah, I don't know. Tam says, I have a friend who's enjoying Crimson Desert, but it's janky. So, I was, what's his fully Ramblematic now, AKA the old Yahtzee, zero punctuation guy. Yeah. He did a review of Crimson Desert and it's funny. So you should watch it. Sounds like the controls are a whole thing.
Yeah. I got the impression that it's a lot of different systems at once and doesn't really settle on anything from his review.
I got the impression that I'm going to pass it, but like, if you're in the mood for it, it's probably one of those games that's like, yeah, screw it. I'm going to deal with it and enjoy running around this world and doing all the things, which is, I guess, what I'm doing in my MMO. So it works. I love it.
Yeah. That's definitely your comfort game right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, my comfort game is pretty much going back to either the Minecraft well or the Stardew Valley well.
I think it used to be Atelier games for me, but I fell off that bandwagon for a while. I need to get back on Atelier series because that is such a good, like, cozy, comforting game to just, like, go and, you know, craft some pies and, you know, finish some quests and very low stakes, not into the world kind of stuff.
I mean, if I needed something like that, what I would probably play right now is Fantasy Life. I know it's probably not a perfect fit, but it's got that unending grind thing going on that people get addicted to and enjoy. So, Kelly, this is where you're supposed to be like, yeah, I love that game.
No, I totally love that game. That's just, it'll take over your life.
Perfect.
Is that our question of the week?
What's your comfort game?
What's your comfort game?
The 2026 comfort game check-in. We've done it before, but, you know, it's been a while.
Because otherwise I was going to suggest, you know, the Steam sale is going on this week.
Steam? There's always a Steam sale going on now.
That's the big spring sale, because everybody else is having the big spring sale, too.
It's like, it doesn't narrow it down.
The one thing I picked up that I've had my eye on for eons, and it's 90% off, is TMNT Splintered Fate.
Oh, cool. I have that. I need to play through it.
I've been rewatching the old 90s show. So I've had TMNT on the brain, so I'm looking forward to playing that at some point. It is so amusing hearing Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince as Shredder. Because I didn't know that as a kid.
And I didn't know that as an adult.
Yeah, you didn't know that there was Uncle Phil that...
No clue.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I watched that.
Yeah, I was a little kid the last time I watched that. I'm like 10 or whatever.
So that's been hilarious, but also hearing Rob Paulsen before I knew who he was, and just all the stuff that he's been in, and hearing just a hint of Yakko and Raphael. I don't know. It's just it's been a fun re-listen, because I fell off on TMNT in like 1991, and that show went for quite a while afterwards. So
they started like actually having plot progression at some point, but I don't it ever all resolved or not.
Yeah, like season 7, which is the season I'm on right now, is literally the Turtles Go to Europe season.
Okay. Turtles do Paris.
And then after that, I think is when it tried to get serious and added the Kino kid from the movies. Yeah, so fun times. But that being said, are we ready to beep into the news? We've got a free-to-play turn-based RPG announced called Void Hunters, coming to PC and mobile, and is available to wishlist right now on Steam. I don't. This just looks like Raid Shadow Legends.
gameplay in this freaking trailer? No. Okay, no. Cool. Neat.
Next. Project Shadowglass receives its gameplay trailer. This is a first-person fantasy adventure.
And it's going for a retro appeal in the trailer because it's like zooming in on your 1992 PC.
But I mean, they went whole hog on the retro. Did you like listen to even the voice acting is kind of like staticky, almost like it used to be on a 1992 PC?
Oh, so they compressed it. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a low resolution pixel art thing going on, kind of like Well, I guess it's a filter, so it's not exactly like Super Brothers Adventure game, but it is. Wow, this is so strange because it's like, is this like? I didn't play Thief. Is this what Thief was like? Because this is it's a skulking game. You're running around, knocking people on the head from behind, and finding puzzles and. Ah, yes, an immersive sim, says Chaos. Okay, so it's an immersive sim.
Looks like
Thief
to me.
Inspired by Thief for sure. Okay, cool. Yeah. Should play Thief.
Yeah, the story says inspired by classic titles like Thief, Deus Ex, and System Shock.
Yeah, all right. This is probably really fun. When's it out? What are we doing? What's the plan?
It's in development and a demo is planned to release later this year.
Okay, so basically enjoy this and then feel frustrated because you can't play it at all yet. Cool.
Pretty much.
Wishlist it so they can get some better funding.
Yeah.
All right. Project Shadowglass is the name if you want to search for it.
Was anybody looking forward to playing Fate Extra Record?
Not really.
Okay. Well, it's delayed.
I know nothing of the Fate series, except it seems like it's long and would be too hard to get into at this point. I don't know.
Yeah,
delayed and it's no longer being published by Bandai. And they haven't announced who the new publisher is. Developers Type Moon, they'll have a new publisher. This is a spinoff to the Fate Stay Night visual novel and its assorted titles. Turn-based combat takes place in a simulated Japanese high school where students compete for possession of the Holy Grail. Okay.
Yeah.
What?
All the Fate games center around that.
All right, cool.
They're all mages, and they summon people from history and mythology to fight.
Should I watch Fate animes? Do they have animes?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay. Should I play a visual novel instead? Is it based on a light novel or just a visual?
It was originally a visual novel. All right. That's how it started. Yeah,
the visual novels are good. Yes, they are animes. Okay, cool. Gothic Classic is coming to iOS. What?
We got lots of Gothic content coming this year.
What?
Why? I just only know the Gothic series because I used to see it in the bargain bin at
Compu. And their trailer has a typo. It never gets old, and they put an apostrophe S on gets. That's there shouldn't be no apostrophe there. It never gets as old. This is the game Hairfrog played for Gomez, right? Like, what is this? Man, it looks old. It is old.
Yeah, it's 2001.
Optimized for touch controls. I don't believe you. Nothing about Gothic is optimized. Coming soon on mobile. Isn't it like remastered already? Why would you? There's a full release, a full remake in June coming, but if you want to play this classic version, it'll be out later this year. Don't know when, but THQ Nordic wanted to get this trailer out, I guess. Here we go.
They wanted to get it out so bad it has typos.
It never gets as old.
It never gets as old.
What's this about? Okay. Demeo Cross Dungeons and Dragons Battle Marked is getting an update. Resolution Games has a new update for Demeo Cross Dungeons and Dragons Battle Marked. It's a Warlock update. It adds, get this, the Warlock, as well as a side quest, and some more language support, and a one-shot adventure, and phase two of the game's Hirelings redesigns. And I don't know anything. Kelly, Josh, do you know anything about Demeo Cross Dungeons and Dragons? I don't know anything.
This is the one that was in like VR where you're playing like on a board game.
Yeah.
But they also came out with a version that you can just play on PC. mm-hmm. or, you know, play on console or whatever.
Is Demio its own thing? I don't.
Yeah. Demio was a tabletop in VR game.
Okay. And this is tabletop in VR, but with D&D assets. Got it.
Correct. Yeah.
Is it any good? Nobody knows. None of us have played it. All right.
I've heard good things. I actually have it. I just need to play it at some point, but I've heard good things.
It's on MetaQuest.
So. Okay. It's currently on PC, Mac, PS5, including PlayStation VR and PlayStation VR 2 and MetaQuest. So if you want to check that out and get the new update, there you go.
Was anybody looking forward to playing Starfield on PS5?
I'm not looking forward to playing Starfield on anything.
That's what I've heard. Well, it's coming to PS5 in April, along with new DLC.
Hmm.
Does it make it good?
No.
Does it make it probably, not boring?
Probably not. I mean, it's got that one cool multiverse mission, but other than that...
That was an exceedingly mid game.
You played it, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
I'm sorry.
It was just like, oh, boy.
But what if, and this is another thing we don't have in our stories... What if you could play it with DLSS 5?
Ooh.
And have, like, the Yossified characters showing up and be like, yo.
With weird lighting?
Sure.
Weird blown-out lighting?
Blown-out lighting, yeah. And, like, fancy high-res faces. Like, you know, and you only need 250/90s to make it go. It's great.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, I guess we're not really known for PC tech coverage, so I guess we won't get too hard in the DLSS 5. That's a whole drama thing this week.
All I saw was the memes.
Yeah.
And
so many memes.
I have no idea what was going on with that.
I actually do, but I don't think people want to hear me rant about it. So suffice it to say, though, what began as a, I don't know that this is really good or what I want my game to do, turned into a full-on internet pitchfork rebellion against AI. And it was fun to watch.
All the stuff where they had to just like completely ban comments on it.
And yeah.
It went well.
People giving
well.
The Digital Foundry people death threats because their rushed out coverage from the NVIDIA show was too positive. They should have waited and did a more measured video later, which they did. But like in the meantime, it's like, well, no, they fucked up. They should have waited and okay. Anyway, Starfield. What's the actual update? It's getting a new update when it comes out on PS5, which I assume everyone gets the update on all the versions.
Yeah, there's new DLC.
Adds the Terran Armada DLC adds additional quests and takes place across the settled systems.
Oh, speaking of jank, Hairfrog's in the chat. Did you play Starfield? That's a Bethesda jank game, but it's not Euro jank, so I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't even janky in a fun way.
It's too new for him to play. Okay, thanks, Tim. It's not janky in a fun way. Yeah, I know. Whatever. Moving on.
There's the free lanes update also lets players fly freely between planets within a star system.
Oh, people complained about that a lot when the game came out.
Yeah, that was a weird thing that it didn't have that in the game. Hey, it's only taken 2 years.
There was no fast travel. Is that basically
it's more that you could only fast travel.
You could only fast travel. Yeah. There was no, you know,
there was
like,
no exploration in the exploration game.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, why do you even need the ship? You're just kind of like swapping between different planets.
You couldn't land wherever you wanted. You had to, you just fast travel to these points. It may as well have not been different planets at all. Could have all been on the same planet. It was weird.
when does this come out?
What, the update?
April 7th. The DLC and the game on PS5, all April 7th.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on. This was the story I teased. Adventures of Elliot, the Millennium Tale, provides the Age of Reconstruction and system details. I had multiple people message me this week saying, hey, Kel, were you interested in the Adventures of Elliot? And I was like, well, I don't know. Well, it's got cat collecting. Okay, I'm in.
Are there screenshots of the cat collecting? I haven't seen it. It just looks like the main character is a red mage, so I don't know what's going on.
There's a the game includes a special cat collecting minigame. If players hear a meow while adventuring, there is a cat nearby. After finding a cat, Elliot can bring it to a cat fancying traveler who provides rewards based on the number of cats collected.
And I found a screenshot of Elliot standing in front of a cat and his fairy companion saying, "Hey, did you hear a cat just now?" And it's like, he's literally looking at the cat. Girl. All right. Well, whatever.
He can play with and care for any cats he has brought back. So, I'm in. When does this come out?
June 18th.
Okay. There was also some stuff about the past of Reconstruction and blah, blah, blah. That wasn't the content I was hyped for.
It has cats. That's all that matters. It's coming on PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch 2. And you can pre-order now. And it's got that Octopath Traveler look to it. It's an HD 2D game from Square Enix. So. Mm-hmm.
But this one's Zelda-like.
Sure.
And hey, I actually wouldn't mind playing a new Zelda-like. Especially since it's top down. Oh, I didn't realize he even had his own Navi. Wow. moving on. Neptunia Unlimited announced.
It Unlimited or Infinite?
The story unlimited. Says Unlimited.
Okay, because it's got a logo of an infinity symbol, or not a logo, but like the trailer says Neptunia Infinite. Well, whatever. It's the first entry in their mainline since Mega Dimension Neptunia 7, huh? All right. Mm-hmm. This is the story's.
Oh, so that's an 8, not an infinity.
Oh, all right. But it's also infinite.
That's not a 7. That is a V2.
Oh, V2. I'm sorry. You know, the sequel to V1.
Fellow Thank you, Tim. Nepstan checking in.
So is this like, is the story continuing? Is this new? Is this a side thing? I don't know where these
new
games
thing.
Are at.
Yeah,
at
new
this
main
point.
Line.
New main line. All right. So
you can fly now.
Okay.
And there's aerial battles.
They couldn't before? I don't know. All right.
Yeah.
What Why? Systems are Red Heart, Blue Heart, and Eclipse Heart supposed to be?
Oh, God.
Damn. What systems?
Would Red Heart or would Rouge's
maybe
red
once a switch
blue. Yeah, since the Switch is blue and red, because Blanc was originally the Wii.
Okay, do we need to reassign them to new systems now?
I feel like we need to.
Tam
yeah,
says he I'm... doesn't know because they're new characters.
Okay,
that's definitely well. One of these people is definitely an Xbox, says Cyril, which that's really green there.
Anyway, I set the release
wait Canada. There's a shock with a shark with Gatling guns.
Yeah,
looks interesting.
A shark with freaking laser beams on
no
its head?
Gatling guns.
Yeah,
you'd think it would have laser beams, but I guess that's been overdone.
I guess you're fighting it in space.
Yeah, because of course, why not? Tam will be playing this. Yes, we know Tam. Yeah. I don't know that anyone else will, but when's it coming out?
August 27th for PS4, PS5, Switch, and Switch 2.
Yeah, but that's in Japan.
In Japan.
Who knows when we'll get it here, then. All right. But hey, new Neptunia, so all the Nep-Nep people can be excited. Yay.
Shenmue 3 gets its first media.
Okay.
Well, once again, I ask, I didn't know Shenmue was considered an RPG.
Yeah, it is. Kind of.
3 definitely kind of is. Yeah.
The 3 is the one that was kickstarted, and now they're right. Like, we're already at the point where we're remastering it?
Well, I guess it was on PS4.
Like, I thought, after so long of people wanting Shenmue 3, we finally got it, and now it's been so long again that it's like we're remastering it, and I just feel so old. All right, so we switch to PS5 and Xbox later this year for the re-release or for the remaster or enhanced. You can pre-order it if you want. And what else? Anything that we know? Let's see. Enhanced graphics, more NPCs, classic camera mode. I don't know what that's about. Gameplay tweaks, quality of life improvements, and UI enhancements. So, yeah, they're polishing it up. So,
it has been 7 years now, Chris. It came out in 2019.
I'll talk to you anymore. River City Saga. Yeah, all right, cool. Nobody
River
knows any
City Saga Journey to the West gets its first details, which all we've got is screenshots. This is the latest game in the Kunio-kun series.
I know they're beat 'em up, but this time Journey to the West.
Yeah.
River okay. City Saga Journey to the West seeds Kunio as all four of the main characters, Sun Wukong, Zhu Baij, Sha Wujing, and Tank Sasang, with other characters in the series appearing in various roles. Like, which of these is the actual Kunio guy, though? And is this a Musou? What is this? I'm so confused.
Beat 'em up, right?
Okay.
River City's always beat 'em up.
Going to come out later this year. Where? Japan only? Everywhere? We don't know. Okay.
Japan first, us later.
Journey of the West, in case you're not familiar, is the whole Sun Wukong, Sun Goku inspired, you know, monkey dude with a staff. There's a Souls-like, there's Dragon Ball, there's so many things that have inspired.
Supposedly the best one is the one with Andy Serkis.
That the... What is that?
The, Enslaved Journey to the West.
Oh, was that one also...
Yeah.
I played Enslaved. That was good. And weird.
Yeah. Apparently it goes off the rails at the end.
Probably, and I don't remember, but yeah.
I think that was that the yeah that was the last news story. Now we've got new release dates. Absalom is coming to the Xbox next week, specifically on March 25th, and this is developed by the Streets of Rage people, a side-scrolling beat-em-up RPG.
Developers Dotemu and Guard Crush Games, and it's not the Streets of Rage people; it's the Streets of Rage 4 people. So
right,
clear on that one, but yeah,
my bad.
Absalom, friends of mine have played this already. I guess it was on Xbox Game Pass already or something. I'm confused. I thought this was out. I'm very confused, actually. Was it on PC maybe already? Is that the issue? Okay, it was on PC already. Mm. I see. So it wasn't on Game Pass. Cyril in the chat says, Absalom is excellent. So, yeah, play it.
What else have we got? Oh, Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness is available on Nintendo Switch Online Plus now.
What even is...
What?
How many Colosseum games were there, and which one is this?
Just to the second one.
Okay. So if you want to see N64 graphics and be like, why did anyone think that this system was a good idea, like Chris feels, you can play Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness and then be like, this is a fun game. Chris is crazy. And Chris will be like... Whatever, I just hate N64 graphics.
But
well, this is GameCube.
GameCube.
Is this GameCube?
Yeah.
This what GameCube. GameCube can do better than this. We should expect better of GameCube.
Just one of those where it uses the same engine, and thus it does still look like a 64 game.
I mean, apparently I'm crazy, but I thought in my opinion, fine. Yes. Whatever. Mm-hmm.
I love this game.
I'm just remember, GameCube has Super Mario. No, wait.
Sunshine.
Oh. Poor GameCube.
I love this game when it was out. I thought it was fun.
The like but XD apparently... Gale. It's just me. I know it's just me. It's just like, I look at this, I'm like, no thanks. Would I want a modern version of this? Yes.
Well, now the line between handheld and console has officially been blurred. Yeah, I want more games like this, too. It was kind of a big deal back in the day that the console game actually had a story mode with catching Pokemon, even though you were catching other people's Pokemon, which some people wouldn't play this because they were vehemently opposed to the idea of catching other people's Pokemon. But they're evil. They're tainted.
Is this the one where you play as a bad guy, or was that the first one?
That was the first one. The relapsed bad guy. Because he's good now.
A relapsed or reformed?
Reformed bad okay. guy. Excuse relapsed. Me. Wrong word.
Now, you know, maybe the sequel, he relapsed, but yeah.
No, in this, the protagonist in this one was a step back. You're just playing as a random kid who has the most annoying kid sister I've ever played with in a video game.
Hmm.
But this one was also a lot of fun and had Lugia in it, so yeah, I liked it. Mildly tempted to do Switch Online just for this, but I also got other stuff I want to play. but I'm glad that both of the Colosseum games aren't stuck on GameCube anymore. Though I'm annoyed that they didn't retroactively make these two compatible with the Pokemon Bank, but I guess that would have warranted money, and they just wanted to slap these on the service.
Hairfrog apparently is playing this, just not on stream.
Okay.
But he is a Pokemon pervert, he says. I don't know. I don't think that's the way you should describe yourself. That has connotations, bud.
Yeah, just a tad.
Yeah, let's not go there.
The internet has ruined certain Pokemon for me.
Yeah.
I'll let you guess which ones.
Mm.
Chris, the next story is for you.
Dissidia Duellum. Final Fantasy is releasing next week. That's right, we've got a new Dissidia with a weird D word as its second word, Duellum. So it's not Duodecim, but it's Duellum. And it's the newest entry in Dissidia Final Fantasy Arena's action spinoff titles. It's coming out March 23rd, which is 2 days from now. The game's going to be on iOS and Android as a free-to-play title.
Oh, no, no! It was sounding so good there.
It's a 3v3 team boss arena battler where the players you tap buttons to fight things. And it has weirdly modernized clothing on all these Final Fantasy heroes and they're in modern Tokyo. And it's weird. And I didn't even recognize Terra from Final Fantasy VI. That's how different she looks. But yeah, so you should check it out. It's got a lot of fan service. So much fan service, but you know, it's a gotcha, so don't play it because you're supporting the worst parts of the industry, but also you should probably play it because it looks neat and you can probably get extra costumes for everyone because you got to collect all that, right? It's not a fighting game, so how is it Dissidia other than I guess it's Dissidia because it has all the Final Fantasies in one and that's the word for that? I don't know.
Yeah, if there's crossover, it's considered a Dissidia game.
Wait, but what about the one where you were all the big head people and Lightning? What was that one?
Well, Opera Omnia.
No, not the Dissidia game. One. It was World of Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that one sucked. That was the Monster Hunter clone.
No, not that one either. But yeah, that one was bad.
World of Final Fantasy.
Yeah, World of Final Fantasy. That had all the Final Fantasy people and didn't have Dissidia in the title. So I don't know why this is called Dissidia.
That was a Pokemon clone.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, who were the Pokemon?
Them. The Final Fantasy people and the monsters.
Were you putting them in balls?
No, but I think you were recruiting them.
Okay.
I haven't played that. I only played a little bit of that one.
I remember it ended with like a big dance number, which I thought was funny. Oh, you stacked them. Okay, great. Anyway, the trailer for Dissidia Duellum is pretty neat. If only it wasn't a crappy mobile game. But if you're looking for those nostalgia hits and fan service, you can do worse. So there you go.
It's such a shame because it does look a lot like, it's almost like Tokyo Mirage Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I was thinking like Fire Emblem's Sharp FE.
Yeah.
But like Final Fantasy and like we could do something here. And it's got like Aroha from Final Fantasy XI. Who even knows who that is other than Final Fantasy XI players? Like they're doing good fan service here. But whatever.
I want to check it out just because I'm curious, but I know it will have more than one current or two currencies.
Yeah, you just play through the tutorial and then say, okay, I'm good. Back to Umamusume. Who's going to play Kena? That's what I want to know.
Kena Bridge of Spirits is arriving on Switch 2 next week on March 26th.
Is it on other systems too? Or is it?
Yeah, it was originally on PlayStation.
And PC.
No, that was Kena 1, but like, I thought the sequel hasn't.
This is Kena 1.
Oh, this is Kena 1. Oh.
It's the Switch 2 version coming out of Kena 1.
So you can play it and then get ready for Kena 2.
Correct. Yeah.
This is a game that looks neat, but also makes me think of Pikmin because you have all these little boopy round dudes solving puzzles for you. I don't know what's going on. And then you have combat. It's weird. I've heard good things, though.
Minibus combat.
Kena Bridge of Spirits. Apparently, it's an RPG, which I didn't know, so that's cool. And we have a review of the PS4 version from 2 years ago or whatever. So go check that out and get excited for it. The sequel's coming out on PC and PlayStation 5 later in this year. No idea when that will come to Switch 2.
Probably a year later.
What's Starbites about, Kelly?
What is Starbites about?
I'm looking at this and I'm getting visual novel vibes.
turn-based RPG set to release on May 21st.
Oh, well, I'm wrong then.
Set on a war-torn planet, and you are a rookie scavenger.
Okay, so this is cyber future Mad Max, but I don't know what's going on, actually.
Yeah, I was thinking Metal Max kind of like has those vibes, but not, you know.
Thyrail describes it as Vacation Robotnik hits on anime waifu. I don't know if that is... You think that summarizes it? All right. That
looks like it to me.
It's NIS, developed by Ikina Games. It's a turn-based mech RPG. Wait a second, a mecha RPG? Does that mean you're going to play it, Tam? It's PC. It came out in Japan last year. It's PC, PS5, Xbox, Switch, and Switch 2, and NIS, and check it out. Read the trailer. Turn-based RPG, as long as it's good, this looks like a fun, unique setting that we don't get often, so yay.
It looks cute.
Yeah. Tam's in on this one, so he'll probably stream it at some point, I think. I assume.
We'll probably hear about it.
Seems worth a shot. Seems worth a shot, to be honest. Looks interesting. Okay, cool.
Sagas of Luminen is coming to Steam Early Access. Lumen. It's coming to Early Access this summer. It is a high fantasy exploration game with a dragon mount.
Single-player, semi-open world action RPG.
Semi-open world meaning you're flying down caverns that you can't get over? Is that what that means? It's kind of what the trailer looked like.
So we're doing like looks like high fantasy dragon riding.
Yeah,
or is it low fantasy? Low fantasy dragon riding. This is low fantasy. High fantasy. High fantasy. If it has dragons, it's high fantasy. But like it looks realistic other than the dragons. So what does that mean? Nothing. Okay, cool. No, so it's high fantasy. I'll just shut up then. Lots of dragons attacking airships. You know that thing you would definitely make in a world populated by air dragons.
Let me have this wooden chip that fly around I'm on flames.
Is this Dragon Dragoon, says Tam. What? As opposed to what?
Ground dragons?
I mean, because if they were stuck on the ground, you would want the airship, because then they can't get to you.
Okay.
That would make more sense. Players explore the world's regions alongside their dragon mount. I don't know if you can feed and train your dragon. If you can talk to your dragon. The game's world is said to be morally complex, with player choices having an impact on the story. Oh, okay, cool. That settles it.
Oh, so when you burn down that village, they'll remember that.
Do I explode the nuke or not? What a terrible moral decision point I have to make.
You barbecued my father. I won't sell anything to you.
There's a lot of blowing up airships in this, it looks like.
Yep.
Yet another game where you play as a dragon, sort of, in the fact that it's like an airplane that you're controlling. So,
Don't Lose Aggro is releasing on Steam Early Access next month. It is an MMO tanking simulator billed as a single player roguelite. So where's the part where you don't get what you want, so you rage quit the dungeon?
Yeah, the healer wasn't healing me. I'm out. I've got better groups, like other groups I can join. I'm a tank. I matter more than all of you. Loser healer. I'm going to go somewhere else and pull the entire dungeon, expect my healer to heal me. Is that too realistic? That's probably too realistic.
A little bit, yeah. You're not wrong.
Just not saying I've ever been in groups where that happened. Oh, wait. Early access, April 15th. They have a trailer. I don't see anything about holding aggro in this trailer. I'll be honest with you.
I didn't see anything either. I'm glad it's not just me.
I see him going around killing things and making roguelike decisions of power-ups throughout his run, but that's it. And then there's some bosses, but we'll see.
Could be fun. Who knows? But that's all the new releases and early access.
All right, let me give you some release dates then for this week. Here's what's coming out. We got the Seven Deadly Sins Origin on mobile. It's already on Steam. It's a gacha game, but it's on mobile now. Or it will be. Dissidia Duellum, which we talked about earlier. Again, mobile, free to play. Mono Monogatari, Fia, and the Wondrous Academy. It's a PC version of the game that was hit consoles last year. Tales of the Shire, the Lord of the Rings game. And yes, that's actually the title. Tales of the Shire, : the Lord of the Rings game. Not the Lord of the Rings game, not a Lord of the Rings game, a The Lord of the Rings game. Man, that one's for most awkward title, I think. It's a Switch 2 release of a game that's been out already. Cozy Hobbits. It's basically a cozy hobbit simulator. So
if you want to eat, go get it.
A Trange Overlord for PlayStation, Switch, and PC. Vanishing Starlight for PS5 and PC. Mega Man Star Force Legacy Collection, which I think is an RPG, but I wasn't really sure. Like, because I don't remember Mega Man Star Force, and I don't know what it is, but...
It's coming out.
What? Does anyone know what this was?
No, I don't remember.
I don't remember the Star Force games, but, like, they've got enough going on here that they look like they...
It was a spin-off that looked very much like the Battle Network games.
Okay. We cover those, so all right. And then we've got a worldwide release of Ariana and the Elder Codex, which I forgot to write down what that actually was, and I don't remember. Oh, like that's a Metroidvania. Yeah, we covered this a few weeks ago. Metroidvania with Vanillaware looking art to some degree. So, all right, what do we got for editorials?
Dalandar/Ryan Costa did a Mugenics deep look.
Not a review?
He said that, well, that game was really freaking long, and he said that he had other stuff he needed to do.
So he got to 40 hours and did a deep look. Maybe one day we'll get a review, but it's, apparently it's still very addictive, right? I know you've been playing it for forever.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about writing a review for it, I just haven't had the time. I would like to, but I also don't want to promise anything I can't deliver.
If you can handle the art style, it sounds like it's a great game. And if you can't, it sounds like you should just skip it.
if you've been itching for a good strategy RPG and love cats, you will like this game and have a very, very dark sense of humor.
Okay.
So, and then we also have a Shadowrun retro review from Scar. On Super
Which Nintendo. Shadowrun? Okay, so the SNES one, because they're different. Yeah. So.
Yeah, because I tried to play the Genesis one, and it was way over my head when I was a kid.
Mm. What did Ryan think of this one? 3 out of 5. The story and setting are fun to explore. The SNES did not have many RPGs that looked or felt like this. The game has a lot of fun ideas, but the SNES can't properly utilize those ideas. And the music isn't memorable, and getting stunlocked to death feels bad. Oh.
And I think that is everything.
Oh, okay then. Hi.
Hi.
That's a show. What's our question of the week?
What is your comfort game for if you're sick or just not feeling great?
What is your comfort game if you're sick or not feeling great? You can answer that in the show thread, the YouTube threads, Discord, all over the place. We'll put your answers in the show, read them next week or 2 weeks from now. No show next week. I am on a work trip and we'll be flying on that day and just really things. Maybe show next week. Okay. Andy might pull something together. So stay tuned. It'll be an audible. I think. I told you what's coming out this week, so I just need to know what you're going to play. Kelly.
More Pocopia.
Josh.
Going to finish Dark Ties.
And I'm going to jump right back into Project Gorgon.
More cow shenanigans.
That's right. Neato. Okay. That's a game. That's a game. That's a show.
It is.
Okay. What else we got going on in the channel today? We have any more streaming? Probably Tam later on tonight and Hairfrog tomorrow, I assume. Stay tuned. twitch.tv/RPGamer. Enjoy all the stream team shenanigans. I enjoy them, and it's fun to have that stuff going on all the time. I hope you feel cozy, and let us know the things you want to see that we're not doing, you know? So, we'll see you later, and until next time, which might be next week, might be the week after, have a good one, and we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.